Welcome back to His Time. I'm your host, Andy Bates. Joining me in studio this morning, the Reverend Dave Lewis. He's pastor at St. Trinity Lutheran Church here in St. Louis. Good morning, Pastor Lewis.
Good morning.
Thanks so much for being our guest here on His Time and spending some time with us talking about what's going on at St. Trinity Lutheran Church. Now, that in and of itself is a unique name.
We have probably the most unique name LCMS church in town.
So. It sounds like there's a little history there. Who is St. Trinity?
Well, I think this is kind of the urban legend that I've learned to tell since I've been there the last year, is that it probably was a translation error from what Holy Trinity was in German. Somewhere along the line, Holy probably got switched over to Sanctus for Saint. And so I guess that's kind of at least the legend that that somewhere along the line, Holy Trinity became Saint Trinity. And at this point, changing it is way, way too much effort.
So the Holy Trinity, the Sanctus, the Saint Trinity. Saint Trinity Lutheran Church here in St. Louis. Tell us about the location. Where is Saint Trinity?
So we're located in Far South City. We're in the Carondelet neighborhood. For those familiar with St. Louis, that's kind of right there within a half mile of River de Pere. Carondelet Park is kind of right across that interstate from us. So our church has been there. St. Trinity is one of the oldest LCMS churches in St. Louis. 1859.
Wow.
The story kind of goes that the truck farmers and iron workers, shipbuilders right down by the river got tired of hitching up their wagons to drive to Holy Cross. And so in 1859, they gathered together and started what is now St. Trinity Lutheran Church.
1859. Tell us about some of the history over that time. What have you learned? Now, you've been at St. Trinity for a little under a year now.
Yeah, our family was started in November. St. Trinity has always kind of had a heart for that community. I think that community, Carondelet was one of the very first suburbs of St. Louis, in fact, before the city in some ways. And so there was a settlement there for a long time. But it's always been kind of a blue-collar community, a lot of working folks, literally right on the river. And I think that as I kind of get to more familiar with the history of this congregation, they've always been about connecting with that community. So they started the church the very next year there was a school. And for many years, until the mid-70s, they had a relatively large day school. In that whole history thing, I guess the story I like is they actually had one of the first Spanish-speaking Lutheran services in the Midwest, and it wasn't to immigrants from Mexico, but it was literally to immigrants from Spain. And so somewhere around the turn of the last century, St. Trinity was hosting a Lutheran service in Spanish. So I don't know, I love that story because I think it really, a large part of our history has been connecting with the real people that live in that neighborhood.
And so tell us about the neighborhood now. What is the neighborhood of Carondelet like today?
Like a lot of our urban cities around the country, our urban areas, and like a lot of St. Louis, Carondelet was basically cut off. The portion of Carondelet we're in was basically cut off from the larger portion of that city or that neighborhood in the 50s and 60s with the construction of Interstate 55. And so one side of the highway is development, the park. The other side of the highway is a little bit of that one side of the track, other side of the track feel. So today, Carondelet is a really diverse neighborhood. It's diverse racially. It's diverse economically. We have 70% of the kids in the neighborhood live and are eligible for free lunch and meals. So we have a significant poverty issue. At the same time, there are families or young couples or individuals moving back into the neighborhood or who have lived in the neighborhood for their whole life that are renovating homes and starting businesses. So it's a unique, most people call it kind of a quirky neighborhood. There's just a tremendous mix of people there. There's a tremendous mix of challenges. My family, we've lived in the neighborhood since we moved here, but there's some amazing things about it that we love. The people, by and large, are friendly and they're open. So it really is a unique South St. Louis neighborhood.
Sounds eclectic.
It is. Eclectic would be the word, you know, and eclectic is sometimes really good and sometimes really challenging.
Sure.
Is the truth.
Absolutely. How do you meet the needs of such an eclectic neighborhood?
Well, that's been kind of one of the strides we've taken since been here. Now, the Congregation St. Trinity has been really engaged in meeting human needs for a long time. We operate one of the largest food pantries in South City, all run by volunteers, a partnership with a number of other agencies and churches. So any given week, we usually say by month, we'll be serving 200-300 families, over 1,000 folks through a food pantry. That's kind of the starting part. That was the kind of basis of what this congregation has done for many, many years. Started all the way back probably in the late 70s and 80s. And so that really is kind of the thing we've been exploring since we've been here. How do we engage, meet, serve in that neighborhood in ways that make a real difference?
With the changes in the neighborhood over the years, with the fluctuation, and as you described, with the construction of the interstate and how that really had an impact on the neighborhood, good for some part of the neighborhood and not so good for the rest of the neighborhood, how that impacts a congregation is significant as well. So describe the state of St. Trinity Lutheran Church over the last 50 years and where the congregation is today.
Yeah, and that's actually how we ended up being here. So St. Trinity in its early history was like a lot of the churches here in St. Louis. And again, like a lot of our churches around the country in urban centers, it grew pretty mm-hmm. much at a constant, a steady pace. The day school, you know, parents were sending their kids to the day school. So at one time, the day school was serving over 200 children. From what I understand, probably, quote, the glory years in participation. Uh-huh. At St. Trinity were post-World War II years, 40s, 50s, very early 60s. On a given weekend, there were probably 600-700, maybe even 800 folks in church. So it had grown to become one of the largest congregations in the city in the 50s and 60s. With that construction and with the general kind of suburban migration patterns, what happened at St. Trinity has happened at churches all over our city here and other places. So folks began moving to suburban churches. That number began to shrink a little bit. And I haven't really done a study of what the 70s were like, but I just from the stories I hear from long-term members, you know, it's kind of that almost not noticeable movement until all of a sudden you wake up one day and you realize what had been a group of 300 or 400 or 500 is turned into a group of 200 or 150. So St. Trinity went through just that process of downsizing in every way, people, energy. In the mid-70s, the school closed. The 80s and 90s saw more kind of migration to the suburbs, and the population, the membership of the congregation aged. So that by the time we began having this conversation about coming here, St. Trinity had shrunk in numbers to probably 75 members. An average Sunday the last couple of years had been 30, 35 people in worship. And so that becomes a very challenging thing. We have a big, beautiful facility, a big school building, a sanctuary that's over 100 years old.
Wow.
So that all takes a lot of energy, effort,
resources,
work,
yeah.
Resources, not just financial, but people.
Right.
And that becomes the challenge.
Sure. Well, we're going to talk about how you face those challenges when we come back from the break. We need to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll continue talking with Pastor Dave Lewis from St. Trinity Lutheran Church here in St. Louis. Hope you can stick around for the conversation. More His Time right after this on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
Serving seniors wherever they call home. That's Lutheran Senior Services private duty. For older adults who need a little help with the activities of everyday life, a variety of solutions are available that enable seniors to remain as independent as possible. Our range of personal and supportive care services are broad and easily tailored to individual needs. Daily, weekly, or monthly care can be arranged. Lutheran Senior Services private duty. Learn more at lssliving.com.
A boy born in Joplin, Missouri was fascinated by anything with wheels and a motor. The odds of him going on to fascinate millions with his talent? 1 in 260,000. The odds of this born racer having 157 career top 10 finishes in NASCAR? 1 in 125 billion. But every driver seeks the pinnacle of their achievements. The odds of him winning both the Daytona 500 and the Brickyard 400 in the same year? 1 in 195 million. The odds of a child being diagnosed with autism? 1 in 88. I'm NASCAR driver Jamie McMurray, and my niece has autism. Learn more at autismspeaks.org/signs. Early diagnosis can make a lifetime of difference. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
Jesus and the Bible exhorts us to agreement in all biblical teachings. I'm Rod Zwanitzer, one of the four hosts of Concord Matters, a show with that worthy goal, Concord, inviting you to join us Saturday mornings at 10 and repeated Tuesdays at 2 p.m., as well as 24/7 on demand.
Listen to Concord Matters on the Messenger of Good News, KFUO.
Welcome back to His Time. I'm your host, Andy Bates. We are talking with the Reverend Dave Lewis, pastor at St. Trinity Lutheran Church here in St. Louis. Now, Pastor, tell us about, we were talking about your congregation and the how time and changes in the neighborhood have affected the congregation and how the congregation has remained faithful, serving there in South St. Louis for a long time. You said it started in 1859. So, man, what a long time to be serving there. And you, the congregation has seen a lot of things come and go in the neighborhood, including a school and things like that. But yet there are still some faithful, longstanding members there of the congregation. What are you called to do there as a pastor, and what are the things that the congregation is doing today to serve the community and face the challenges that you've been facing with the change of the neighborhood and decline and things like that in membership?
Yeah, so Andy, the rest of kind of the story, how me and my family ended up here, kind of by God's leading, is that the congregation had come to the point of making hard decisions about whether they would close or not. Mm-hmm. And just about that time, the Lord sent a man, Alan Creek, from one of the local congregations, Faith Oakville, to visit one week because his grandparents went there. And Alan and then a few others just began to take passion and energy about this church and this neighborhood and just, you know, I think prayerfully and by the Holy Spirit's kind of guidance said, you know, there's a lot of ministry still to be done here. Let's see what God would provide. And so a number of partnerships began to develop. I think one of the key words that I've learned in the time here, if you're going to do ministry in the city, it's all about partnerships. There's never enough resources individually. That's probably true everywhere, but that's very apparent in the city. So the folks at St. Trinity started developing some partnerships with a group of young people from Faith Lutheran out in the suburb of Oakville. A group called Extreme Faith began doing work there. They began doing homeless outreach. They began meeting neighborhood kids. They began helping at the food pantry. And so those things began to develop into some energy and passion about what God could do. So so a lot of connections really with the kids in the neighborhood. So we began an after-school tutoring program a couple days a week, which engaged young people. Began a student leadership program where it was very relational, where they just built relationships with neighborhood kids and began kind of sharing what it means to live and follow Jesus and just be on mission with him. That has grown now to where we really see ourselves as an urban mission training center. And we're working with the St. Louis Lutheran Foundation and a few other partners to say we want to keep discovering what it does means to do ministry in the city, and we want to help other people discover what it means to do ministry in the city. So we ended up here when the Missouri District kind of said, you know, God's doing some things there, and there's a group of pastors and lay persons in the city that just say we need to be finding ways to relaunch. The language I like to use is to reimagine what God's going to do in some of our urban congregations that have struggled for the last 25 or 30 years. And so with help from the Missouri District, with help from the St. Louis Lutheran Foundation, I was called in November. We were installed, and we are just living living and working in these communities, seeing what God will do. So that looks very relational. By nature, I'm not kind of an outgoing meet people, but but that is what we do. We meet people, we say hi, we invite them to worship, and we have places where we can serve them. So there are a lot of needs in that neighborhood. So the food pantry continues, the after school tutoring camp. This summer, we had 150 kids in from around the country, teenagers spending about a week at a time serving both at the church, but even more powerfully in the neighborhood, meeting residents, meeting neighbors, doing work on their homes, all relational. Almost every week during the summer, we have a community picnic, which just invite people to come down for a free meal. We had Vacation Bible School a few weeks ago, which I haven't had for a couple of years. 35, 40 kids, almost all from the neighborhood, were there. Their parents starting to come. Some of them are showing up at church. So I'd say the heart of this ministry is just very relationship oriented, meeting people one step at a time, and both showing them Jesus, maybe showing them Jesus a lot, even sometimes before we get a chance to tell them about Jesus.
So just getting to know the folks in the neighborhood has really been an important part of the last 9 months, almost a year that you've been there, getting to know the neighborhood, getting to know the community, and building those relationships so you have more opportunities to talk, to teach. And so where does it go from here?
Well, we're excited. God's done some amazing things in 9 months, and it is all God, because the overwhelming sense that we do not have power to do this on our own has just really become apparent to me. So we're rejoicing. That group of 30 or 35 folks that was worshiping regularly back in November has grown to 60, 65 a lot of Sundays. Almost all of those folks are from the neighborhood. We're really looking... we're looking to the city at large. I think our vision would be to create a diverse community of folks, racially, economically, gift and kind of talent wise from around South City, not just our Crown Island neighbor, and then even the broader St. Louis area. So that's kind of our prayerful vision for what God would do, that we would be a place where you can connect to really serve your neighbor, to really help people with real needs, but you can also connect with those that maybe aren't quite like you, and so I think that's our kind of long-term desire. We're entering into a period of prayer. We're calling it the St. Trinity Prayer Project. So I invite your listeners just to join that, to pray for the very real needs of our neighborhood. We're actually spending some energy and focus on praying for God's Spirit to kind of give us real clarity about where we need to go, the steps we need to take to continue to meet more people. The challenge at St. Trinity, and I think most of our urban congregations, is we need to continue to reach people and pull together resources if we want to do ministry kind of in the way we Lutherans understand doing ministry, with the pastor, with the building, those kind of things. So that's kind of our goal right now, is keep making friends both close and nearby, and really in the whole metro area.
Tell us about, you mentioned those partnerships being key and being important. Tell us about those partnerships. You mentioned other churches, the Lutheran Foundation. How important are those partnerships, and who are they?
The partnerships are critical. I mean, they're essential. I think almost every pastor of a city church that I talk to says the same thing, is that, you know, this is it's putting together a whole level of people who are willing to work, to give, to support, and just to offer themselves as missionaries. That's kind of how I see my job, is I'm kind of the missionary, the chief mission leader. The folks if God's going to do something long-term with St. Trinity and probably most of our city churches, it's going to be because he uses people in their daily walk, to introduce others to him, to invite him to worship. So we have all kinds of partnerships. We'll have youth groups come spend. We do a day of service, mm-hmm. one day a month on a Saturday. We have opportunity for other churches, mostly suburban churches, to come serve with us for the day, doing projects with the neighbors, doing building projects. So that can be as simple as doing cleaning up the building and helping. Helping with neighbors with lawn care. We have folks that are committing 1 or 2 years kind of their lives to say, we or our family or me, I'm going to be a missionary in this place. And I'm going to be here with my abilities, with my worship attendance, with my offerings. Those are the kind of partnerships that we love and we need. Mm-hmm. There are partnerships. We've had whole groups of folks that come and help serve meals, that work at the food pantry. So it's interesting. The last few weeks, we've been getting a lot of calls from churches in the broader St. Louis region saying, how can we serve and how can we partner with you? And I tell them, the first thing is you can pray. This is a ministry that needs prayer of every kind. You know, there's always a place for financial resources. That's true in a lot of mm-hmm. places. That is really true in our place. And then there is a place for you to be present and serve just in little ways. Pretty much wherever your gift is, mm-hmm. We can use almost every gift you bring to the table. We can use because we're just a church that had been literally on the place of closing.
Tell us about the long-standing members of St. Trinity that have been there through it all, mm-hmm. those who have been there through it all, and today, what their thoughts are about where Trinity is and their hope for serving the neighborhood, continuing to serve the neighborhood in the future.
I would say, Andy, that's why we're here. We're here because of those folks. There was a group of 30, 40 folks that we had some really very straightforward, honest conversations with before we came and accept this call. And we said, you know, guys, the Lord has used this church and has used you. I mean, we have members that have been there literally their whole lives, 75, 80, 90 years. He says, he has used you, you served faithfully for these many years. And there was a group of folks that just had a desire to see this ministry in this community continue. Mm-hmm. And I have no doubt there's some challenging things. You know, because we talk all the time is that change is good and change is hard, and so it is hard when all of a sudden the things that are familiar begin to change. So it's actually we kind of saw this on Easter Sunday. Had 100 folks in church on Easter wow. Sunday, and we're just rejoicing and praising that. And it was just kind of chaotic. You know, it's just a lot of activity because a lot of new folks have never been in church. They don't mm-hmm. they don't know what that's like. And so I just keep really encouraging both those long-term members to say, I'm very proud of them for welcoming and greeting in what I know is hard because there's a lot of new things happening. And I tell our guests and visitors that I'm just proud of you for having the courage to step in the front door. Because it's tough to come into a place where you're unfamiliar with mm-hmm. and everybody's been there a long time. So we just pray for God's Spirit to keep building unity and positive attitudes. And when we have issues, we try to talk about them. We try to answer questions.
We're human. Life gets messy.
It is very messy. And then some week we go, it's very chaotic.
Yeah. And I can imagine, you know, for those members who have been there a long time, to see a congregation go from hundreds down to 30-something can be disheartening. And, mm-hmm. and some might say, you know, that's it for me. Right. But there are the faithful few that have remained there and now continuing to serve with the new Trinity.
And
if
they
you will,
do.
The
they
new
give.
Members.
They serve. Our long term folks serve in so many ways that make things happen. Yeah. So we're working very hard and just praying God's Spirit would make that. It's not about new and old. Mm-hmm. It's about who are the people God calls to this place to bring light, life, and hope to South St. Louis and to the city as a whole. And we know that life, light, and hope is Jesus.
Do you see families connecting with families beyond Sunday morning?
That's kind of, I think that's where we're going. As we start mm-hmm. to, we are reaching new folks, and the relationships now are starting to build. And I think that's the piece that that we're just kind of seeking God's guidance in is how do we do that next step? So kind of reaching people in the city in some ways I think is easier than in the suburbs because there's a lot of life happens in a relatively compact area. So you meet a lot of people, mm-hmm. but perhaps the harder part is how do those relationships develop into something significant? And so I'm hoping that's year two. That's what we're praying is kind of year two, that now how do we begin to develop relationships where we care for each other, support each other, gather around God's word, study together and learn together. So that's what our prayer is.
And that's a challenge because that's a lifestyle change for many of us, especially for, as you were describing, coming back to the city. You know, you had served as a missionary in other ways. You had served in the
Memphis area. Southern.
So you had it served in a different setting. How was the community you were serving in before similar and different from where you're serving now?
Pretty much the first, my first two calls were small cities, but they had a very suburban feel. So it was very suburban. Mm-hmm. We never really envisioned that we would be back in St. Louis. I don't think I ever really envisioned that we would be in the city. Kind of learned whenever you say those things to God, he usually has something else to say about it. And so we just, our family, my wife Heidi and Sarah, we just felt compelled to be here because we think God wants this church to be in this place because there's very real needs and there's really very, very real people who don't know him. And
And
this is a place that they're going to meet Jesus.
He places his congregations, he places his ark right in the middle of neighborhoods so that his gifts can be distributed and word and sacrament and strengthening those relationships for opportunities to talk about him right there in the middle of the neighborhood. And we're so grateful for what you're doing.
Thank you.
Glad to hear that things are going well for St. Trinity and that there's still a bit of a climb, but we're grateful for the partnerships that have been developed there. Pastor Dave Lewis, thanks so much for taking some time to talk
with
us this
thanks
morning.
Thanks for having me.
We appreciate your time talking about St. Trinity Lutheran Church in South St. Louis. Coming up in just a little bit, we've got our study of the daily lectionary. Today, we're going to study with Reverend Ellen Cook, pastor at Faith Lutheran Church in Clewiston, Florida. Hope you can join us for that conversation as we get into Acts chapter 28 this morning, verses 1 through 15. Should be a good study. Hopefully, you can join us for that. And those in the St. Louis area, hopefully the storm has passed you by and things are going well. It looks like things are going better for our signal here in St. Louis as well. Stick around for more His Time right after this on Worldwide KFUO, the Messenger of Good News.